Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Seattle, Washington, and earned a BA in communications from the University of Washington, and a CHC in Nutrition, Food, and Wellness from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. After working for a Seattle TV station, she founded Simply Real Health in 2012, whose mission is to help people live healthier and happier lives. The author of Simply Real Health Cookbook, her name, Sarah Adler. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Sarah Adler, the founder of Simply Real Health. Sarah, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you so much, Jack. It's so great to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Oh, sure. Yeah, so I have had a great childhood. I mean, I really grew up with the most supportive parents, and I think supportive in a way of I was always encouraged to, you know, follow the things that were interesting to me, no matter what they were. So I remember, even from like a really young age, like 5 and 6 years old, that my dad would take my sister and I down to the bookstore and say, you can get any book that you want about any topic that you want. So he always supported reading, whether that was like about science or it was about, you know, sharks or it was about, you know, whatever we were interested in. And so it was always encouraged from a really young age to pay attention to the things that you were drawn to, pay attention to the things that you thought were fun, pay attention to the things that you thought were easy. And I feel so grateful for that in my life. And I know that when I start my own family, that that's going to be something I really want to continue. I think it had so much of an impact on me. Not that I knew back then, but I can see that now, that just even being encouraged to look at those things and find what those things are in your life can lead to amazing places.
And what's the biggest thing, Sarah, you learned from mom?
My mom is the most patient, like, angel saint that you would ever meet. She is has the most giving heart, and she loved being a mom. I think that was her true calling, was like raising children and just caring for them and making us feel loved. And I feel so lucky.
Your dad's a lawyer. Your sister's a lawyer. Was your mom a great cook?
You know, she actually didn't like cooking at all. And it's very funny now with the cookbook. Anytime I do go back home and we have dinner back there, she'll always cook something from my cookbook. And she's like, this is so great. You know, she's like, I never liked cooking until you were able to kind of teach me how to do it in a much easier way. So she grew up in a family of 7 kids, and she was the second youngest. And so she saw her mom all day and all night just cooking and cleaning and cooking and cleaning some more and just spending all of her days doing that for their whole family. And I think my mom was a little bit more progressive and wanted to have a career and wanted to, you know, do some other things with her day besides always cooking. So I totally understand, like, her view of it and her vision of it is not the way that I go about it, too, because my life is also really busy. We all have busy lives now, and nobody really has time to stay home and cook all day like they did back then. But we did grow up, even though she didn't like cooking, we still always ate together as a family. She would just make things that were really simple and really easy and pretty healthy. So,
all right. While in college, you worked at a TV station in various jobs. Talk about that chapter in your life.
I really, from the beginning of college, I always thought that I wanted to be on camera. I always thought I wanted to be on TV. Like, being a news anchor was like my dream. And so when I started college and I was lucky enough to go to University of Washington, which is right in, like, the heart of Seattle. And so there were so many, you know, a big, big city, so many different opportunities for internships. So I interviewed and got an internship that I did for 2 years when I was in college at the local TV station, and just had this great experience to really see what that was actually like. So I rotated through different departments. I started in the afternoon talk show, and then I went over, like, to the news desk, and then I ended up in the TV sales department. And so I got a really good view as to what it was. And I remember being just, like, shocked at how, like, how much they would be putting into their jobs, but it wasn't really, they couldn't really control the time, you know, so the hours were really crazy. Like, people would be at the station from, like, 3 a.m. until, you know, sometimes as late as, like, 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning. And in the TV sales department, I remember, you know, I always had this passion for health, even when I was really young. I loved, you know, learning about it. It was one of the things I would always want to buy at the bookstore with my dad, was about, like, food and about working out and just reading all these different theories. And so I remember being in the TV sales department, and they put me on the campaign for McDonald's. And so in the sales department, there's, you know, they have a lot of different accounts and people that they work with that advertise on the network. And I remember sitting in a boardroom, and they were talking about Big Macs and, you know, how do we get more people to be interested in buying Big Macs and a milkshake. And I was just like, I don't think I can do this. And I think that was a huge eye-opening moment. You know, that all the things that I thought it was, it ended up being a little bit different. And I realized in seeing the whole picture that maybe it was, like, worth a second thought throwing myself into that for years and years to come.
You then went to Institute of Integrative Nutrition to get a CHC in Nutrition, Food and Wellness. And while in school, you were a receptionist at a yoga studio. What did that teach you, Sarah?
I think in my adult life after that, I just am always reminded to smile at people who are in jobs that are of service like that. So the front desk, anywhere you go, or, you know, the checkers at the grocery store. Make sure you treat and talk to everybody with respect. Everybody's a person, and everybody's doing the best that they can.
We're talking to Sarah Adler, and I'm Jack Grisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Grisula, and we're with Sarah Adler. Sarah, let's go back to 2012. How was it Simply Real Health was born?
Well, I remember leaving my job at the wellness studio because it was time. You know, I kind of, like, had to. There was no longer anywhere that I could grow and move up. So I decided one day, like, I kind of woke up the next morning, was like, okay, what am I going to do? I have my certification. I love working with clients. I had had my blog then for about 2 years, and it had been steadily growing over time just as I was starting to test recipes and learn more about the concept of real food and the difference between that and healthy food. And so I had my blog. I had clients that were, like, ready to work with me just from all the free work that I had done before in the last couple of years as I was going through school. And so I just remember waking up the next day and was like, okay, well, I guess I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but I know I have the blog, I know I have clients, I know I have my certifications, so let's do this thing. Let's just see where it goes. And at that point, I knew that it was either my option to start my own business, or I then had to go work for somebody else. And I just felt so, I was nervous, of course, and, like, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know it's going to be immediate success. It is a big risk. But I remember feeling like, you know what, I'm going to make this work. There's no other option. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do something that I love and to do something that lights me up. And even though I don't feel quite ready, now is the time. You know, there's not going to be another, there never is a perfect time to make a jump like that or to take a leap or to invest in yourself. But I did. And so that was how everything began. I remember I woke up and I just went online and I started filing for business licenses. And my blog at the time was called Simply Real Food. And so I decided, okay, I want to do food, but I also want to talk about the whole picture, too, of, like, wellness being a little bit more of a holistic thing. So mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, all of those pieces and components relate. And so I came up with the name, well, Simply Real Health. Also includes Simply Real Food. You know, it also includes a Simply Real Mindset. Also includes the mental, emotional, physical, spiritual parts of health as well.
What does healthy mean to you?
Healthy means balance, I think, in a lot of ways. Healthy means having joy with what you're doing, with what you're eating, with who you're with what you surround yourself with. And healthy also just means simple. I think a lot of times people get really overwhelmed because there's so much information out there. But at the core, being healthy is just being really clear and letting things be simple. And kind of going back to the older way to think about food, which was just real food. It was just like food that has naturally existed over the last, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of years in relatively the same way that it does now. So instead of getting all wrapped up and confused in the latest study or the newest fad, those things are always going to be changing, and it makes it really hard to keep up with. So I think at the core, if you can just think about healthy as being simple and clean and pure and, you know, one word foods almost that you would see, or things that you can recognize on an ingredient label, to me, that is where the balance comes from. And when you have simplicity and balance, that's where joy can come from too.
If you want to learn more, www.simplyrealhealth.com. All right. You then wrote Simply Real Health Cookbook. Tell us about the cookbook.
Yes. So the cookbook came, I think, 3 years into starting my business. And it was something that was just requested so much from all of my clients and from all of the people that were starting to follow my blog. And they said that, like, they really just wanted one place to go where they could pull it off the shelf, have a full collection, because my style of recipes are slightly different than most people's in that they are healthy, meaning they're real food, so have existed for thousands of years, but very simple. So, like, 5 ingredients or less, 10 to 15 minutes or less for most recipes, and they taste really good. So a lot of people, once they started cooking in my style of cooking, realized, like, A, it wasn't hard to do, or B, it wasn't complicated, C, it did not take a lot of time, and D, the feedback that they would get from their families, whoever else is at their table, was always like, oh my gosh, this is so good, even if they didn't know it was healthy. So it kind of bridged the gap, I think, between a lot of the reasons or issues that most people don't cook or they don't want to, quote unquote, eat healthy, because they really don't realize how easy it can be. And so that became my mission, to help more people get back to cooking and back to real food by showing them that it really can be easy, and keeping it simple and keeping it fun. You know, recipes like that range from, yes, you know, green smoothies and really good salads, but also, like, you know, delicious, like, burgers and a really good steak and how to make french fries at home and healthy cocktails and great desserts, all based on the principle of real food made simple.
More and more people are eating smoothies for breakfast. How do you make a perfect smoothie?
There's a little bit of an art to it, I think. I think the best ones are made when you start with a frozen banana. So if you have bananas that are kind of at that perfect stage when you bring them home from the store, if you peel them right away, and then you can either, you know, cut them in half or cut them into thirds and just put them in a plastic Ziploc in your freezer, then you always have, like, supplies ready to go for great smoothies. So I would start with, like, half a banana. Sometimes if people are just starting out, I'd say maybe use the full banana. And then, you know, 1 or 2 handfuls of greens. So that could be romaine lettuce if you're just starting out. Spinach is actually pretty sweet tasting. Or if you're ready for the next level, you could go something with a little bit more like power, a little bit more, also a little bit more bitter would be kale. A little bit of like frozen blueberries, so probably around a quarter cup to half a cup. And again, the frozen banana, frozen blueberries help keep it cold, and that's what also makes it like nice and thick, so it's not like a runny smoothie. So texture, I think, is really important. And then there's a lot of add-ins, you know, from there, but at the very base of it, having like a frozen banana, a little bit of berries from antioxidants, and then some greens can be the most basic version. You know, from there you can add in a good clean protein powder if you want. If you need it, you can add in, you know, half an avocado. If you need a little bit more staying power with good healthy fats, you could add a little bit of peanut butter or almond butter. So from there you can get really fun and creative, but at the base and core, you really just need three simple ingredients, a little bit of ice, and some water.
You say you have three non-negotiable food rules. One we've talked about, you have to have real food.
Mm-hmm.
You just talked about that for every meal, you want vegetables. And then the third one is take the emotion out of it. What do you mean by that,
yeah,
Sarah?
Yeah, I think so the emotional component, the psychology behind food, and the way that we relate to food on a mental and emotional way is something that is never really talked about. We're never really trained growing up to connect the pieces between what's going on in our emotional life, how we feel, how stressed we are, different triggers that may happen throughout the day. We're never really taught to be able to connect those to the behavior of then what we do with food. And so this is actually the part that is I feel the most passionate about in my business, is that once people understand the food piece, so eating real food and keeping it simple and getting rid of a lot of the clutter, that then it becomes so much easier to start to tell, like, why are you eating? You know, when are you eating? Is it because you're actually hungry? Because once you start to eat real food, your blood sugar balances out. You become so much more calm and even and steady and stable. You can make clearer decisions. A lot of people notice like brain fog goes away almost within a week of just getting some of the chemicals out of your life. So when that starts to happen, it's so much easier to tell, like, ooh, am I eating this bag, reaching for this bag of, you know, Doritos because I got an email that really stressed me out, and I haven't been taught like how to deal with that. So a lot of it is just like bringing the awareness and a little bit of a connection between what we do with our food. It's oftentimes behaviors that we learned in childhood or that we picked up somewhere, that food is a comfort, it's a distraction. It's what we do when we get bored. It's what we do when we're procrastinating. And so being able to become aware of those things so you can slowly start to disconnect them and just keep food as like your nourishment center instead of using it and abusing it for everything else in life.
We're talking to Sarah Adler, and I'm Jack Krasulin. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasulo. We're with Sarah Adler. If you want to learn more, www.simplyrealhealth.com. Sarah, how do you keep coming up with new recipes?
You know, I think one of the things that I love doing in my business is I write meal plans every quarter. So I know that a lot of people get overwhelmed by, you know, not only thinking of what to make, but then how to make it efficiently and how to not waste food and how to make things go from one day to the next, but not keep eating the same thing over and over. So every season I write new ones. And so this helps push me a lot in the recipe creation zone. I think in the beginning, the recipes I made were just things that I wanted or I wanted to find healthy or better replacements for. So like going to a barbecue, or like what foods could I bring friends that just had a baby, or what food, you know, because a lot of those things in classic terms are like lasagna or, you know, things that are like macaroni and cheese, like things that are comfort foods, very heavy, won't actually make people feel great. So the recipes in the beginning became that. How do I find healthy replacements for all the occasions that I'm finding that I'm going to in life and need to bring food? And then the second is just the creativity of, like, okay, so how do we get to coordinate? How do we use the same ingredients during the week that you're not wasting food? You can have, like, a printable shopping list that you just print and take to the store. So it just streamlines everything. And so it makes me challenged, too, because I have to think within each season, what are the foods that are in season more? What are the activities or things that people do on the weekends that they could use recipes for? And so those, like, the real life elements definitely help and inspire me. I think also traveling to different places also help inspire me and keep things fresh. Other cultures have so many, like, cool combinations and different things creatively to do with food, so that does always help me come up with new stuff all the time.
I've many times heard that the most important meal of the day is breakfast, yet you eat twice a day, lunch and dinner, with no breakfast. Why?
Yeah. So there's a lot of, like, rules out there with food that we have been told or taught or trained that this is the one way. Like, this is, you have to do this. You have to eat breakfast, otherwise it's not healthy. It's, you know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and get your day started right. But I really think that it's so much more about, are you actually hungry? And so for most people, if they're not eating real food, of course they have to eat breakfast, and they have to eat really often throughout the day, snack all day long, eat a lot of food, because their blood sugar is all over the place. But when you start to transition to real food, you're getting so many more nutrients per bite. So you're getting so much more nutrition, even out of, like, a lesser amount of food. So it becomes less about the amount and the timing, and more about how many actual nutrients and minerals are you getting into your body. And the more that you have that, the easier your body just stabilizes. You don't crash. You don't get hangry. You don't, like, you know, have, like, sudden drops in energy, or, you know, times where you get mean. Like, all of those can be signs of just blood sugar dropping. So with the standard American diet, people's blood sugar is dropping all the time, making it very, you need to eat, you know, breakfast right away, and you need to have a snack, like, 2 or 3 hours later just to help stabilize your blood sugar. But I like thinking about it, like, let's go a layer deeper into the actual true root of the issue of, let's try to stabilize your blood sugar first just by making a few changes in the content and the quality of what you're eating. And it ends up happening naturally that then your body is so much more able to go long periods of time and nothing happens. You know, you kind of, like, gradually get hungry, but it's not panicky. It's not stressful. It doesn't feel bad. And I think a lot of times we think hunger is, like, a bad thing, whereas hunger is just one more thing that is very normal and, like, a sign that things are going well, that your body's working. And so taking the stress and anxiety out of eating has a lot to do with this, so that people can have a better relationship to food overall.
Once in a while, I listen to moms who have sons 18, 20, 22 years old, and the amount of food that these kids eat, it's legendary. They're simply carnivores. They're like dump trucks.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times with, like, teenagers, and goes for girls too, that teenagers are taught to, like, snack all the time. And so many houses have, like, huge pantries just full of snack food. But snack food a lot of times is pretty empty. Like, there's not a lot of substance there. There's not a lot of nourishment. There's not a lot of healthy fats to keep them full. There's not a lot of good protein. It's just like air, you know, and so they can consume massive amounts because they're never actually getting the nutrients that they need, even if their volume of food is really high. And so I always encourage parents to, like, think about, okay, how can you add more substance, like, into their actual meals, so that they're not just going from snack to snack to snack to snack, even though that is, like, very socially acceptable to do. That's how we all learn to eat. And so starting to incorporate, you know, like, doing, like, a smoothie that has maybe a full avocado in it and maybe some good protein powder, you know, like, things that have more staying power, I think it's a great move, because it saves a lot of time. You don't have to be, like, every hour, like, oh my gosh, like, they're hungry again, like, they need something. But, like, so starting to add more substance. to what they're eating, especially at mealtime, the time that you are more in control can really help with that.
So many of our young people, Sarah, are extremely overweight. Why is this? And most importantly, what can and should they do?
Yeah, so in the last 50 years, the last 100 years actually, is the first time that processed food was really introduced. And so before that, if you think of people who are, in their 80s or 90s, like, they will look at some stuff that we have around and, like, that's not food. We didn't have that. We had, like, home-cooked meals that were, like, meat and potatoes, and there was a vegetable and, like, these balanced, real food-based meals. But in the last 100 years, for a lot of different reasons, like, women went back to work and, you know, we had a lot of different things happen in our history where it was more about convenience, you know, and convenience was more important. And so we started to get this influx of processed food, packaged food, things that had longer shelf life, things that you didn't have to cook from scratch, you would just eat. And so I think we're starting to see the repercussions of that now, because most kids growing up now are raised almost primarily on that processed food. So what I mean by processed food is if you look at the ingredients, and I would encourage all of your listeners to just start doing this, just so you can start getting educated, that anything on the front of a label is always marketing. There's no legal, like, rules or ramifications as to what can be said and what can be claimed on the front of the package. But on the back, they are also required to put what the ingredients are. And if you turn around something and the list of ingredients is, like, you know, 25 different lines, it's kind of a scary thing. It means it's, like, very processed-based things you can't recognize, a lot of chemicals, a lot of additives, versus something that has one ingredient. Or you look at, like, what's the ingredient for a pear or an apple? It's just a pear or an apple. So that's what I would consider more real food. So I think for kids, just, like, starting the best you can and starting really small with, like, just starting to try and introduce more real foods into their life and maybe taking a look at, like, the snack closet and the pantry and their cereals, of starting to look for ones that are a little bit more simple, that have fewer lines, that have more recognizable ingredients. And it can be a really slow progression of trying to weed some of the very processed stuff out, because it's very addictive. And so especially for kids that are not aware and they're not connected to their emotions and they're not really sure why they're eating, you know, if they're actually hungry or if it's something else, that can be a really good first move in every house to just start slowly upgrading the quality of the food that is around. And that can be something that can be done just very gently and over time. That's really where I would suggest to start.
We're talking to Sarah Adler, and I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Jack Rasula, this is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Sarah Adler, the founder of Simply Real Health, and also the author of Simply Real Health Cookbook. Sarah, can eating healthy, good foods cure major diseases?
Yeah, it can. Absolutely. That's where everything starts. It's truly the number one source of power that we have, that we are in control of what we do eat. And our bodies are always meant and wanting to be healthy, just that sometimes we get in the way with the stuff that we're putting in or not paying attention, and not truly feeding and nourishing ourselves first, because everything else gets harder when you do that. You don't feel very good. You don't have a lot of energy. And so what you're putting in your mouth multiple times a day is the number one and easiest way to start to shift things more in your favor and to start to become healthier, to reverse all kinds of diseases, reverse inflammation. Like, that is where it all starts.
You talk about three pieces to the wellness journey. One, you eat healthy food. Two, the mental-emotional side, But then you also talk about values and the spiritual side. Can you explain what you mean about values and the spiritual side?
Yeah. So this is something that comes, I think, after a little bit of time and immersing yourself in making the transition to real food first, whether just for you or for your families too. But once you do that, again, your mentality and your emotions become a lot more clear and a lot more easier, a lot easier to deal with. There's just less clutter and confusion. And I think when you do get that clarity, the next step that kind of happens after that is this connection to what's important to me in life. How do I want to show up in the world? You know, what is my purpose here on earth? Why have I been put here? It makes a lot of those questions a lot easier to answer, because if you are clear on your worth and taking care of yourself, then you are able to execute on the gifts and talents that you have and why you're here on this earth. And so some people don't always follow that connection, but it is a little bit of stages and steps. So first the food has to come so that then the mentality and the emotions can also follow. And then when you kind of get there, you start to connect these much bigger pieces in your life of, you know, what do I want my day to look like? What do I want to feel like? How do I want to give to the world? How do I want to serve? And those things are very hard to do when you are feeling horrible, when your energy is low, when you're struggling with a disease or inflammation or, mental and emotional things going on. So it is really all connected. And I think that's why it isn't so important to start with food. You have to start with food. Otherwise, those two other pieces become so much harder and so much more of a struggle to get to understand.
I quote you now, I see myself as a bridge. What do you mean?
I think I have an ability to connect the dots for people, so to take them through that process and help them see how what you're eating affects how you show up in the world. And that, you know, it is a little bit of a, you know, it comes in stages, but I think that at the end of the day, that is the most important thing, is understanding what and how you eat just has a direct impact on everything else that you do in life and the quality of your life, and how impactful you can be on others really comes from that. So I see myself as the bridge between those different things. Not everybody realizes the connection between food and everything else in your life.
If you want to learn more, www.simplyrealhealth.com. 6 years ago, you started this business. What, Sarah, has surprised you the most in these last 6 years?
I think that, you know, it's a lot of work to run a business, but I'm always surprised by how much fun it is, too, because it's something that I care so much about, and I feel like I can see the impact on people's lives so profoundly that they can change, like, almost completely, even within, you know, 4 weeks or 6 weeks' time, which is so small in relation to how long people struggle with these different issues in their life. So I guess I'm just always amazed at how easy and how fun it is to keep going, even though it is a lot of work and there's a lot of different challenges that come up. But I do feel so grateful that I feel like this is what I'm here to do. And I feel like doing that and being able to share that gift with others just lights me up in such a way that it keeps me going, you know, even when the days are long, even when projects may take a long time. It is really something that just always surprises me. I would always think it would be, you know, like too hard or that I wouldn't be able to do it for years and years at a time. But I really know that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
You just said, this is what I'm here to do. Mm-hmm. You're still very young and you've figured out your life's mission. So many young people today are trying to discover their life's mission. What advice do you give them?
I think to just lean into the things that you do find interesting, to the things that feel easy to you, to the things that light you up, to the things that you're curious about. I always tell my clients, I do some small business coaching on the side, and I always tell them, like, what is the thing you do when you're procrastinating? Like, what is the thing you search for on Pinterest? What is the thing, you know, the different Instagram accounts that you follow? Like, what is the content of the things that you're most interested in your life and in your free time? Those usually have a lot of hints as to the things that are part of your gift or the things that you're just naturally drawn to, because if you're naturally drawn to something, you don't mind spending a lot of time learning about it. And I think that is really the easiest way to think about, like, the looming question of what is my mission or what is my purpose or what am I here to do, is to just follow those little breadcrumbs when they're there. Just starting to pay attention to the things that you do like, what you like to surround yourself with, what you do in your free time, what you want to read books on, what podcast, you know, topics you want to listen to. Those can be really great indicators of things to just keep following and keep pursuing in your life, even if they end up being just a big side hobby that brings you so much joy, that is still a part of your purpose and something that is calling to you.
Everybody I've ever met from Seattle is phenomenally in love with and very proud of Seattle. What makes it so special, Sarah?
Seattle, I'm born and raised here. So I, you know, have had just, I don't know, it is such a beautiful place. And the people that live here are, everybody's so calm and so, like, low-key. There's not a lot of, like, stress happening. It's not a lot of, like, too much hustle and bustle, but there's just the right amount of energy and great restaurants and people that are very humble and kind, you know, but very relaxed. And I think that is probably the biggest appeal to it. It's a very relaxed city and relaxed culture of people who love the outdoors, the water, there's the mountains. We have the most beautiful summers and really mild winters. And so it makes it like such a livable city to be around.
Sarah Adler, you're a shining example of someone who at an early age found their life's mission and gives it their all every day. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Believe in yourself.